morning, Saints.
Morning.
Morning.
1997, July 28th, my mother died. This is one of her favorite songs. I want to dedicate this song to her today. And the name of the song is His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Amen. That's so true. I want to draw your attention this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And I want to preach a message this morning. I trust that the Lord is directing us this way. I say that because I desperately need your prayers that God would direct us to what He wants us to look at. When you're going through stuff yourself, sometimes you kind of lean in a certain direction, and I don't want to do that. I really want to say what He would have me say to us. But this verse and passage kept coming to my mind And I felt like the Lord would have us to share it with you this morning as well. And so we're going to try to do that with the Lord's help. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you especially for your word. Lord, what a comfort it's been to us, to every child of God. Lord, you are our shepherd, your rod and staff, they comfort us. And Lord, we need you. We need you to speak to us this morning and help us. And some folks here are going through things far worse than I can even imagine. And I pray, God, that your word would be a strengthening to them, a help to them. Lord, if down the road they face difficulties and trials, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring back this passage to their minds. And I ask, God, that you would just give them peace and comfort because of what your word declares. We pray, Father, also if there are those among us that are unsaved, Lord, help them to turn to Jesus this morning and become a child of God, a follower of Christ. And Lord, only you can work that in their hearts and compel them to come. We pray, Holy Spirit, you do that. Speak to us this morning, please. Help us to hear your voice and to do your will. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are many, many verses in the Bible that God uses to help us during times of suffering or trials or even intense temptation from our adversary, the devil. And many of you probably would have some verses that come to mind immediately as you think of all the great promises in the scriptures for God's people, that he will be with us, he will help us, and he will continue to meet our needs. One that we often think of during a time of severe testing is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. The Bible says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are who are called according to his purpose." I like to add verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." And often when I think of trials and testing, I think that's exactly what God's trying to do in a Christian's heart. It's the potter who's taken us the clay. And he's placed us on the wheel of suffering, and he's using that suffering to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to keep that in mind when you're going through a valley or difficult days. And by the way, doesn't always have to be physical. It can be sometimes emotional, financial. No matter what the test is, God says, "Listen here, look at my word. What I'm trying to do during this difficult time in your life, it does have a purpose. And the purpose of that is to make you more like my Son, the Lord Jesus." Amen?
Amen.
And then James adds this in James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations." That's different types of testings and trials. This is it also includes even when the devil is trying to tempt you. Why should we count it all joy when we're in a time of testing or trials or difficulty? That's the last thing most of us think of when we're going through a very hard time. Joy. I know that's not the first thing that comes to my mind. Joy. But James said, hey, count it all joy because there is a purpose here. He goes on to add these words, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." See, that's the only way to build that muscle of persevering faith. That's what patience is. Again, patience is not sitting in the doctor's office waiting there 2 hours before they call you and you finally go back. Patience is that persevering spirit in difficult times. So what God is trying to do is strengthen all of our muscles. When you go through a very time of testing, he's trying to strengthen that persevering spirit, that no matter what you face, you will face it confidently holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Many of our forefathers were great examples of that. But he continues, James does. He says this in verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Don't fight against it. Just work. Let God work it out. Trust him. That ye may be perfect and entire, complete, wanting or lacking nothing. Most of us want this as Christians, right? We want to be perfect. We want to be complete, entire. We want to be all that God intends for us to be. But let me tell you something. In order for us to get there, it takes temptations and testings and trials. That's the part of the Christian life we don't hear a lot about. Amen? Amen. Today it's come to Jesus and everything's fine. No, come to Jesus and he's going to take you through times of difficulty and trial because he's going to strengthen your faith. And in doing that, he's going to make you more like himself. Amen. And you're going to become a strong, mature Christian because of the trials and testings that you have faced. Peter adds this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. And always remember that about times of testing. There are for a season. They're not going to last forever. Amen?
Amen.
It's a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, a tear is fine. A heavy heart is fine. It's not that you're not obedient to God when tears flow. So there are some things that will cause that in your life. That's the testimony of Peter. But he says this, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And later on in Peter, 1 Peter 4, he'll add these words, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. How many of us do that though, right?
Amen.
You're going through a trial and you think, what? This is strange. Why is this happening? I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. What's going on here? I'll be honest with you. A lot of people have been defeated at that point because they just don't think that Christians should have to face anything like this. And so when they face it, they're like, and then Peter said, no, I told you that's not uncommon. It is not strange for Christians to go through. Read of our early church fathers. Read of the disciples of Christ. Every one of them, except for John, died a martyr's death. Those 12 that Jesus chose, one was a betrayer. He went out and hanged himself. But the other 11, all of them died a martyr's death because they loved Jesus. Folks, that's what we've signed up for. Not this pie in the sky stuff you hear so often in preaching in our day, right?
Yeah.
He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy. A lot of our trials and testings is because of our testimony that we love Jesus and we will be faithful to our Lord. Amen?
Amen?
So back to our text, notice, and by the way, there are multiple other, tons of Old Testament verses many verses in the New Testament that says, look, you're suffering now, but there's a far greater weight of joy waiting on the other side. Amen?
Amen.
But I want you to notice what he says here in verse 13. There is a test that we have to face. A test that we have to face. And notice this. He said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And one of the tricks of the devil is when you're going through a difficult time, the devil tries to get you to believe that your situation is the worst that there's ever been. No one has ever faced what I'm faced. I mean, this is as bad as it gets. Why don't other people have the problems that I'm having? Is the temptation we have when we're going through trials. And Paul says, no, it is not uncommon. And really, we know that it's not uncommon, don't we? Because we have eyes and we can see that others are suffering. And some are suffering far worse than we are suffering, right? You know, even in our church, there are people who have gone through some far worse things than I'm facing. I think of Sister Jeanette not too long ago couldn't even open her eyes. And she couldn't see, was blind. It kept lasting. And we kept praying, And it didn't seem to get better. It got worse. There was no answer, nowhere you looked. It's one thing to know what your problem is. How many of y'all know that when you find the doctor finally comes back in, he says, now this is what's wrong with you. Like, okay, now we can address it. Right? But when you know there's a major problem and you don't even know what's causing it, that is hard. And we prayed, and it didn't seem like anything was moving or changing whatsoever until finally a ray of light came. She went to a chiropractor and her atlas was so far out, it was causing pressure on her nerves. It was making her really extremely sick, nausea, and it was causing her not be able to see. And when they started working on that, put it right back into place, and she started recovering. And if I would never have guessed in a million years it was that. And that's one of many of you who have gone through just really hard things. And I'm not going to mention all of you. Brother Wesley's been through some hard things. Emotionally, physically. There was a time there, someone said, but Wesley's back in the hospital. That's just among us. And if I started on the front row with people that are sitting up here, none of these have avoided it either. It's so common we can't get past the front row. And yet when you're suffering, the devil wants you to focus in on, hey, you're going through a terrible thing. This is awful. Why do you have to face this? And just look around and you'll see there are a lot of people that are hurting in the world today. I remember when I had my accident back in 1996, May the 2nd, a young lady ran a stop sign and threw me out of the vehicle that I was in. She T-boned a truck, a work truck, threw me out of the vehicle, and I landed on the side of the road, and I woke up and people were screaming. I knew something was wrong with my lower extremities. I didn't know what it was. And I broke my right femur then. It was a spiral fracture, and I broke my back, L3, 4, and 5. L4 was a burst fracture, so it was gone. They had to go in there and take the whole thing out, L4. And, there was for a little bit there, he didn't know if I was going to walk again, and then it was pretty obvious, most likely I would walk. And I was in rehab, and forgive me for singing this song, but it was one of those old, I think it was on Hee Haw. Doom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive. That's what I was singing all the time. That's an edifying song. And you know what the Lord did, though? He smote my heart. I was hurting. I was suffering. It didn't take me long looking around. I thought, man, there are some people here. Don't you ever sing that song again. There are people here that are going through far worse than you can ever imagine. Amen. There's a 16-year-old girl that was there 16 years of age. And she was riding with some friends, and her friend car went off the side of the road, and she tried to correct it, and she did it too sharp, and it flipped the vehicle. And it severed her spinal cord, and at 16, she would never walk again the rest of her life with many different complications that go with that. And I could go on and on and on and on and tell you about people that I met there that had far worse than what I had, and it smote my heart. That I know I'm suffering, but these people have it worse than what I have. It's a common thing in this world that you're going to go through. And if you're not going through stuff right now, I promise you sooner or later, your heart's going to be broken. You know, some of the worst things that can happen to you are not physical. Amen. I've seen people suffer for years and years and years and have nothing to do with physical suffering, it's mental suffering. And so it's common that we're going to face these things. And there's two mistakes that we make. One mistake is we think we're untouchable. That's never going to happen to me. And that's a big mistake because it will happen sooner or later. Have you ever wondered about these really well-known pastors that fall? Let me give you my belief is why they fall. Because I think they think that they're untouchable. And instead of keeping the guards up that they normally would keep up, they think they no longer have to keep those guards up. And because they let their guards down, they make themselves vulnerable and they give in to sin and they dishonor the name of Jesus. Look at the verse right above that, verse 12. It says this, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That's to every single one of us, amen? Amen. No one is above it. Right. And then secondly, the belief that I'm the only one that's going through this. And that's not the case at all. So there's a test that we all have to face. But there's a trust that we all need. There are two things that are brought out in this text about the faithfulness of God. And I love these two things. I hope they are a blessing to you this morning. Notice what he says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." If you go to, I've never been to Yellowstone National Park, but they have a geyser. I was going to call it a gusher. I'm glad you spoke up. A geyser. And they named that geyser Old Faithful. Why? Because right on time, every day, for years and years and years, it gushes. It geyses. God is faithful, and he wants to tell you about two things that he's faithful about. Look at what he's faithful about. "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." God said, now listen, sometimes you think, and I may think this myself sometimes, "Lord, this is too much." Right? I mean, anybody, if you don't agree with that, I've had people tell me that before. They say, "Preacher, I know God said that he wouldn't put on me more than I'm able to bear, but I'm telling you, I can't bear this. This is too much." Right? Have you ever been there where you think, "Lord, that's almost, I can't take any more. But you know what? If God has allowed you to get there, God says, I know you. I know you can take that. If you couldn't take that, I would not allow it.
Amen?
Amen? And so in suffering, sometimes you have to look at where God has brought you to and you have to say, Lord, evidently I can because you've allowed me to come here and you never break your word. So Lord, give me grace to handle this. I tell people all the time, I'm a coward. When it comes to surgery, I'm a coward. When it comes to laying up in the hospital, I'm a coward. I don't like none of that. But you know what? The Lord must know that I can bear that. And He will see me through that. Or He's faithful enough to say, Tommy, that's too much for you. I'm not going to let you go through that. Now listen to me, that sometimes is hard for us to understand. I dare sometimes not even mention things that people have faced. Because I think if I had to face that, it would be almost too much for me to face that. But I promise you, no matter how great the test or the situation or the temptation, God is not going to allow you to suffer more than you can bear. Job's a great example of that. Amen. Remember when the devil came God said, where have you been? He said, I've been to and fro throughout the whole earth. There's no one who wants to love you and serve you. And he said, well, have you thought about my servant Job? He said, yeah, but you've got a hedge around him. I can't get to him. If you took that hedge down and you let me take away everything he had, he would curse you to your face. And God said, all right, take everything he has, but you cannot take his life. You know what that included? Everything, all of his children. 10. You know what that included? Many of his beloved servants. It wasn't just the animals that he lost. Remember? All of his servants died except one of this group, except one of the... He lost many good friends. Children, friends, and all of his possessions were taken away in just a brief period of time. And Job fell on his face and said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the devil had to kick dirt and say, oh, I thought I had him. And then he went back to God and he said, I tell you what, you let me touch his body, he'll curse you. How many of y'all remember the limitation God put on him? He said, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. And what did the devil do? Job had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Burning boils. Excruciating pain. And he said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Isn't that beautiful? And by the way, it's not just physical thing. You need to have that same mindset. Whatever you're facing in this world, you need to know that God is faithful. It is hard. It's dark. It's difficult. It's been a long time. But God is not going to allow you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. Amen. And then can I tell you the second thing he's faithful about? Look what he said. Not only will he not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear, but even in this testing and temptation, look what he will do, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that good? That not only does he say, I'm going to put a limit on your suffering, I'm also going to lead you through it and ultimately out of it. With a Christian, guess what? There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. Always. With a Christian, there's always hope. Because the faithful God has promised us. He will see us through. Amen? Now, we don't know what that all of that entails. Who would say amen to that? We don't know what that entails. But he does say to us, I'm faithful and I will make a way for you. Amen. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It may mean that that he heals my body in a miraculous way. That would be great. I would love that. It may mean that he's, and by the way, I'm still praying about this myself, praying that God will give me wisdom in this. It may mean that he would go through all this procedure again. And he uses that to repair this weakened limb. But there's hope, amen? And by, can I say something to you? There's even greater hope than that, because on the other side, guess what? We're going to be completely whole. Amen? You may have heard that song years ago. They sang, I'm a winner either way. How many are familiar with that? If I go or if I stay. I think we've all been there where we're praying for someone to be healed. They've had cancer a long time. By the way, recently I saw this story where there's a two-month-old who had brain cancer. And I'm sitting there thinking, why in the world am I murmuring and grumbling? I couldn't bear that. I mean, to have a child that's facing that, I can't even think of that. But we pray for people who are sick. We used to have a sister here. She felt fine, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I've got to tell you, you've got cancer. We're only going to give you about 6 months to live, Sister Tina. And we prayed for Sister Tina. We prayed. We asked God to heal her. And he did. He took her home.
Amen.
Now she's perfectly whole.
Amen.
He doesn't always heal the way we think he's going to heal. And by the way, our God is so unique and wonderful and great. He don't always do what we think he's going to do on our behalf either. Amen? Can I say something to you this morning? That whatever he does, it's always perfect.
Amen.
Because a perfect God can't make any mistakes.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
That's something good to hold on to when you're going through a trial and difficulty. Now listen, what would it be like not to have God? You see, God, for us who are saved, he limits. He doesn't put on us more than we could bear. He makes a way of escape for us. And he's faithful to do that. But if outside of God, you're trying to live your life, there's no limit to that. You're in grave danger, amen? Not only in this world, but you're in danger in the world to come as well. You leave this world without Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. And that is not a joke. That's what God said in his word. Amen? Come to Jesus.
Amen.
Receive him as your Savior and Lord. Amen? And trust him. Christian, trust him. I really hope that none of you ever have to face anything near what some have faced here. I hope that for your entire life you don't have to go through anything like that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, whatever you go through, he'll be with you. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll help you. And he's worthy of praise for that. Amen? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father, please help us.